Good morning. I'm here today. Pastor Rao had to go to New Mexico to visit his mother and his father. Please keep them in prayer. And as they travel home, too. And he has a great visit with his family. We're going to be talking about compassion today. This is how the American Heritage Dictionary defines compassion. Deep awareness of suffering of others coupled with desire to relieve it. Compassion goes further than sympathy. It goes beyond empathy, able to feel their pain. Compassion does something to help them out. A great example of this is seen in the parable of the Good Samaritan. If you have your Bible, please turn to Luke chapter 10, 25 through 37. And if you don't have a Bible, we have some in the pews. And if you don't have one at home and you would really like one, please see me after service. 10, Luke 10, verse 25 starting. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine on him. Then he put the man on his donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." I have a ring. How many of us could say we wouldn't walk on the other side? What if we was walking down Pacheco Boulevard and we saw somebody bloody just laying in the road? Would you run up to him and help him? Or would you walk on the other side of the road thinking, "I don't want to get involved, I don't have time for this"? The real evidence of our belief is the way we act and not what we say. We are called to treat everyone we encounter as if they were Jesus, and that's no easy task. What we do for others demonstrates what we really think about Jesus' word to us. Let's look at the word that Jesus spoke from Matthew 25, verse 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goat. He will put the sheep on his right and put the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, feed you, or thirsty, and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger, or invite you in, or needing of clothes, and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison, and go to visit you?" And the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you do for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't come looking after me." They will also answer, "Lord, when did we see you, or hungry, or a stranger, or in need of clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you?" And he will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous will enter the life, eternal life. Acts of mercy and compassion we all can do every day. These acts do not depend on great wealth, intelligence. They are simple acts of kindness. And we cannot hand over this responsibility to the government. We have seen so many floods and so many fires and different devastation around the world in our country today. And the government hasn't the ability to help everyone. They lost homes, they've lost businesses, they lost jobs. The children lost their schools. In North Carolina, so many people, the roads, everything is just destructive. The government can't help them all, and it's not the government's responsibility to do everything for everyone. I praise God, his children help where they can. Samaritan Purse, first on the scene. The Nazarene churches are on the scene. Other local churches are on the scene to help out. And I believe the churches have a great responsibility to be first to help God's children. Far too long we have let the government take over what God has called his people to do. And we've been complacent. We are okay with that. We can walk by hurting people and say, "Oh, the government will give them food stamps," or "Oh, the government's going to do this, the government's going to do that." In some cases, but a majority of people do not get the help that they need. When somebody asks you about your church, how do you answer them? Do you describe the building or the people in it? We'll come back to that question later. I'd like to take time to tell you all the ways we are reaching out to help our community, our country, and around the world. Every Thanksgiving, we put together food boxes to give out to the needy who come here to the church or to our community. The 4-H joins us on that, and they help us with that. We have an angel tree. Every Christmas, we provided 25 families with gifts for their children last year. If you could have seen some of the places that we went to deliver these packets, it would break your heart. We pulled up to a single wide mobile home where a father and his son lived in it because the wife was in prison. It had cardboard where the windows should be. The sliding glass door that was their main entrance wouldn't close, and it was cold. And the little boy was special need. His bus pulled up into the area where they lived, and the dad was asleep. I knocked on the door. He didn't even come out. So I guess the bus driver called him, and he did come out. And we handed him the gift, and we explained to him who we were. And then when he brought the child out to meet us, it just broke your heart. These people had nothing. And just a little kindness meant the world to this little kid. We've been doing that for the last 5 or 6 years, the prison ministry. We help others with their PG&E bill. We help them with their water bill. We've helped them with their insurance. We've even helped them meet their house payment. We have a food pantry that provides food. We also buy food carts from Walmart to give out to the people who need it. They can go and buy the necessary items for their family. We never look at a person and say, "I'm sorry, but you're not the right color. You don't look like you're hungry. Looks like you do drugs, so we're not going to help you." We're here to love everybody and to reach everyone. We have a train meal that Pam overlooks and takes care of for the sick and for the ones who've had surgeries or maybe just had a baby and they can't get up and cook for their family. The ladies in the church are faithful, making dinners and taking it to them. If they don't have the time to make the dinner, they will order out and have food brought to them. We give rides to the doctor's offices and to the hospitals. We want to do everything that Jesus has asked us to do. We want to be faithful. We have a prison ministry that goes in and ministers to the hurting in there, the lost that are in there, and help them any way we can, because we don't think we're better than them. By the grace of God, some of us are not in there because we didn't get caught in things that we did when we were young. The ones who got caught doesn't mean they're less than we are. Pam, can you come up? We do have a compassionate care package that helps others in our city, our country, and around the world. Yeah, they're crisis care kids. I know, I don't like it either. They went to North Carolina. They went to the fires up in L.A. They go around the world. And what we do is we put these packages together, and I'm going to let Pam tell you what they are.
You're going to be my Vanna White. So this year is a little different. It's a bigger bag. It costs $20 because we went to Dollar Tree and we got everything. The towels, this says no kitchen towels, and I noticed it says kitchen towels, so I'm going to have to go to Walmart. So it'll go about $20 to make one. And then we fill six and put it in a banana box, and then they ship them anywhere in the world, here in the United States, all over. Kansas City, yeah. And they distribute them. So we're going to district assembly, and we want to take, that's where we take them. And then we try to make as many boxes of six as we can. So six of these go in each banana box. But there's some of the things that go in there. There's three, there's a bottle of shampoo. There's specific ounces and all what to tape the top, and two bars of soap. Toothpaste, three toothbrushes, bandages, female clipper, hair comb, towels, hand towels, 15 by 28 approximately. They're very specific. Four pocket sized packages of facial tissue, stuffed toy, huggable and soft, and sanitary napkins. So we'd like to, if you'd like to be involved in this, we can either give you a bag that lists everything, and or you can donate money and we'll go and buy it all and put it together. So I hope that you want to participate in this. It's a great need, especially lately. We've had a lot of disasters that it's probably running low on our supply. So thank you. Appreciate it.
And you know, they're all necessary items, things that we have every day in our lives that we take for granted because we can afford them and go out and get them. The ones who've lost everything, they don't know where to turn to. So we need to be God's hand and reach out and help them. We also have people that visit some of the seniors. Some of them go to New Bethany's and they sing for them. They talk to them because they don't get out. Nursing homes, they made them Valentine's cards and took them there. A lot of them, their own children don't visit them. They might be lucky to get a visit once a year. And we are called to share God's love. We're not called to grab onto what God has given us and enjoy and embask in his love for us and his kindness and his compassion. We're supposed to take that and share it with others. Everyone we come in contact, we need to be Jesus to them. We need to be loving, merciful, compassionate, not judging them for who they are or what they've done. I thank God he doesn't judge me for who I was and what I've done. Amen. I think I'm so blessed he sees me for what he has done in me. Amen. And that's what I want for everyone. Yes, we have a loving church who helps whenever we can. But these ministries cannot exist without the congregation's support with their time, with their talent, and with their money. The church is the people inside the building. Let's go back to the question, when somebody asks you about your church, do you describe the building or the people in it? I want to be a part of a church body that's loving and caring about everyone. Not to pick and choose who we're going to love and care for. Not to think we're better than all the other people because they don't look like us, they don't have what we have, and they don't act like us. We didn't act like this either in the beginning. And we got to remember that when we approach people that are struggling. We did too at one time. But if we don't share God's love with them and tell them about him, they're never going to be able to change on their own. Because society don't care about them changing. They just basically want to keep them quiet, not causing problems, but to put out money or really true help to get them to where they can change and they can be the person God created them to be. They're only going to be God. And they're only going to know him if we take the time to share him. And God has called us to love everyone. During the week, are you the same person you are on Sunday in service? I mean, we put on the best when we come to church on Sunday. But when we walk out of here, are we that same person? Or do we put on different clothing and go into the world and not care about anybody else but yourself and what's going on in your family? When you're at work, are you short with people? If somebody comes up to you and says, excuse me, can you give me 5 minutes? I need to talk to you. Do you say, later maybe if I have time? It could be crucial. If they come to you and say, can I have 5 minutes? Give them 5 minutes. Because you don't know what's going on in their mind. That 5 minutes, you could have changed a person's life not to commit suicide, not to get a divorce, not to do something that could do bodily harm to them and people around them. 5 minutes, that's all it is. But sometimes we are so wrapped up in us that we don't care about anything else around us. And we got to stop. Jesus never told anybody, excuse me, I'll be back in about 30 minutes to see you, and walk away. He wouldn't do that. And we shouldn't do that either. Do you know your, I'm going to use neighbor for your street? Or have you lived there for 4 or 5 years and never really talked to them or got to know them? When I lived in San Jose, that's what happened over there. You get up in the morning, you go to work, you work all day, you come home, go back in your house. Never knew a neighbor on my street. It was just all about working, 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 working. And when we decided to move to Los Banos, and I was thinking, I don't think this that way, who would want to live in a dirt water town like this? Because it was little. There was nothing but the main street, McDonald's, and a few other things when I moved here. Yeah. Within 2 months of being connected to this church, I knew my neighbors. I go to Walmart, go shopping. I run into people that I knew, and we talk, and I didn't realize how I closed myself off. I thought I was okay, but the love I felt after I moved here with all of the people, and now I know my neighbors. I know when they're hurting. I know when there's a need. They know me and know they can come to me. I will pray for them. I will do whatever I can. But if we're not out there meeting them, not out there letting them know you're there, they will never reach out to you. And it's really important that we socialize, even if they're not like we are. Maybe they you know, they're partying all night or whatever on the weekends. Get to know them. Jesus would. And that's the only way you're going to reach them. 3 months ago, I was in the airport, and I was flying to New Orleans. And as we were sitting there, I was watching this worker at the airport. She was pushing this lady in a wheelchair. And she pushed her up to the lady's room, and she parked her at the entrance and just turned around and walked away. And so the lady sat there for a minute, then she decided, well, she had to get up because she must have told the lady she needed to use the little girl's room. So as she's trying to get out of the wheelchair kept moving because the lady did not put the lock on it. And she was not strong. And she walked, well, this lady gets up and she goes over and she leans down, and I guess she must ask her if she could lock the thing for her, and she locked it for her. Then the lady still tried to get up and tried to get up, and she couldn't get up. So they had a conversation, and the lady unlocked the wheelchair and wheeled her into the restroom and helped her do what she needed to do and waited for her, helped her out, put her back in the wheelchair, brought her back out, put her to the gate that she was supposed to be at. No one praised her. No one was looking around to see how many people she was noticed by her actions. She showed love to someone she didn't know. That's what Jesus wants all of us to do. Could you walk up to a stranger that you didn't know? Could you help them into the restroom? And do whatever that goes on it to help her out and to bring her back. Could you do that? Do you look for opportunities to serve the Lord? Because they're out there every day. Every day there's somebody that needs kindness and love and compassion. And not to worry about what other people think. We have to get out of our comfort zone. We do. And it makes you nervous to do something. That's okay, because I get nervous every time I stand behind this pulpit. Every time. It just scares me. Get out of your comfort zone. Be real with people. Understand it's not just, I feel their pain. See what you can do. You might not be able to take all their pain away, but you can be a comfort to them and know that you're here with them to go through that pain with them. And what you can do, do. We can't be okay with just our families knowing God. I'm good. Hey, my kids know God. My husband knows God. My sisters, whatever, they know God. We're good. God asks that no one is lost. And the only way is for us to get out of our comfort zone and care about the people that are not in our family, that's not in this congregation, and help them to know God. I love this church. I think we do a lot. For a smaller church, we do a lot to reach out to help people that are hurting. We have people come in there we don't know, needing help, and we help them. We don't turn them away. But again, I have to say, to run a compassionate church for people outside this four walls, to help the ones who truly need it. It takes time, talent, and money. We need people We have a lot of different jobs open that you could fill. We need new ideas. And Pam, it will be at the back today. And if you're wanting to fill one of those bags for somebody, please see her and she'll explain it even more in detail to you. But we just can't come here and sit in these pews and do the 2 or 3 hours on Sunday and say, God, we did our job. We did our duty. We came to church like you asked. We sung for you. We prayed. We're good to go. That has to go all week long. We have a nurse in our congregation. She works hard, but she will pray for a patient. She will speak kindness to them and show compassion. We have teachers that do the same thing. It's in our life 24/7, wherever we're working. If we're on the baseball field playing and stuff, you show Jesus there too. You show compassion and love there too. It never leaves us. It's always with us. If we're a child of Christ, we will live for him 24/7, wherever we're at. You're going to have a lot of time because... And if you want to be involved in some of these ministries, like prison ministry, let me know. If you want to go out to New Bethany's and different places and sing or just sit and talk, let us know. You want to be on the mission field and the mission council and stuff, be involved in missions, let us know. If you want to teach Sunday school, let Loopy know. She'll help you. There's always something that we all can do. So my prayer for all of us, including me, is to never forget every day when we walk out our door that we're God's ambassador to his children.
Amen.
No matter who they are, they're laying in the gutter, drugged, whatever, you're still Jesus' ambassador to these people.
Father, we thank you for the word that you've given, Lord. I ask as we go, Lord, that you will fill our hearts with compassion for those around us, Lord, that we would show your love to our community, Lord, and that you would just bless each and every one of us that's here. I ask all this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.